sin, all sin, ought to bother you to no end as a child of God. Can somebody say amen? If you're born again, it's going to bother you. If you are saved, it's going to bother you. Listen to me very carefully. I don't care who you are. Don't get mad with me. You know that if you're saved, it is disturbing to be fat. It is shameful to be fat. That's why you don't like to go out. That's why you wear black all the time. That's why you try to cover it up with scarves and blankets and everything else. You got to get your hair fixed a certain way to fit your fat face. Don't you get mad with me. Your jaws. Because this gluttony goes throughout your entire body. And to be arrogant about it, listen to me very carefully, to be arrogant about it, to have an attitude about it, to try to justify it, and then even some folk lie about it, saying, well, it's my thyroid. Now, maybe for a few people, it might be that. But for most of us, it's the thighs off the chickens that you eat, not thyroid. The thighs. Wolf down a whole pan of thighs. Cooked in olive oil, of course. You know, some health is always, you know, for obese, fat people, there's always some healthy element we put in there. Well, I cooked it in olive oil. I took the skin off of it. Listen to me. Stop lying to yourself. Stop deceiving yourself. You can cook it in olive oil. You can take the skin off, but if you're still eating 12 pieces, you're committing the sin of gluttony. Because according to the size of your stomach, one piece of chicken plus some rice or potatoes and some green beans is all you can eat. It's all you need. We all know as Christians that we don't need a whole sub sandwich. But every time we go, 12 inches of bust, that's it. Foot long. Why get anything less? Foot long. We know we don't need it. And it's showing on us. We know we don't need McDonald's French fries. I'm primarily talking to people who are 40 and over. Some people you are young and you're not obese. When I was young and a mean fighting machine, I ate what I wanted. And it did not affect me one bit. I had some old saints say to me, well, boy, I tell you, that's going to show on you when you turn 50. I said, hey, I'm not worried about turning 50. I'm going to eat this foot long and these chips. And then the commentator goes on to say, three further descriptions of these false teachers follow. First, their God is their stomach. They had in mind only their own physical desires, an unrestrained gluttony. And yes, there are preachers like that in the pulpit today. And you follow their teaching and it's false. And there are Christians like that. They're only concerned about their physical pleasure. And then they brag about it. Yeah, I done put a whole lot of chickens away. You know that Baptist bird? I love it. Their glory is their shame. They glory in how much food they have eaten. They brag about it. They say things like, yeah, I like to go down there and have them put that sign down. I make them close down. Yes, sir. I make them close down. Instead of giving glory to God, these teachers and these so-called professors heaped praise on themselves about that which they ought not to be glorying in. Amen, somebody. Ironically, he goes on to say, they prided themselves in the things they should have been ashamed of. Are you not ashamed, dear Christian friend, dear true preacher, truly born again? Are you not ashamed of your obesity? Yes, you are. Admit it. Are you not ashamed of your gluttony? We all ought to be, and we ought to be ashamed of putting folk on the stage. Everybody's fat. Nobody says nothing because we don't want to hurt people's feelings. Do you know sometimes people's feelings need to be hurt before they change? This is a call to repentance regarding a sin that we have accepted as Christians to the point of laughing at it and laughing about it. Thirdly, their mind is on earthly things. It is certainly not wrong for God's people to care about their earthly affairs, to keep up with the news, to take care of their business. But those Paul warned against here were depending on earthly things to gain merit with God. The apostle frequently alerted the people of God against such a lifestyle over and over again with tears. Now that's one view of this sin, and I laid it all out so that you can have a good foundation for this message and this series going forward. And if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, this message is going forward, this series is going forward all the way through Thanksgiving and through Christmas, unless the Lord says otherwise. And then the Bible Exposition Commentary says, how strange in a letter filled with joy to find Paul weeping. How many times have you been in a church service or in a Christian meeting and everybody around the table is fat and you want to say, now listen, I know we came here for another meeting, for something else, but we need to deal with this obesity problem. Here we all are sitting here eating donuts and other things and drinking coffee, and we're talking about something very important, but somebody needs to say something about the fact that all of us around this table are fat. And it should not just be left to the prophet to see this problem. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever been in a meeting at church and you wanted to say, not in the church services, that's not the time to do it unless you're the pastor, but in a meeting, and all 10 of you disciples, all 12 of you disciples are fat, the fat disciples. You're obese. And doesn't it kill you when the fattest person at the table says, I'm hungry, y'all have any food? And all of us who are obese as well, saying in the back of my mind, child, you ought not to eat for the next 20 days. And by the way, some of us, if you can do it in a safe fashion, might need to fast for 20 days to break that hole that your idol has on you. Your idol is food. You worship food. That's what this passage is dealing with, according to this commentator, Dr. Wurzbach. He says, perhaps he is weeping over himself and his difficult situation. No, he is a man with a single mind, and his circumstances do not discourage him. Is he weeping because of what some of the Roman Christians are doing to him? No, he has the submissive mind and will not permit people to rob him of his joy. By the way, are you that kind of Christian? You don't permit your wife, you don't permit your husband, you don't permit your rebellious, stubborn children. You don't permit your friends, you don't permit your mother, your father, anybody to steal the joy that Jesus Christ gave you. I hope to God you're that kind of Christian, because there's no other way to live as far as I'm concerned. Then he goes on to say, these tears are not for himself at all. They are shed because of others. Others living in a sinful manner. Professing to be saved, but not even convicted about the evil that they're doing. Because Paul has the spiritual mind, he is heartbroken over the way some professed Christians are living. I said professed Christians. I told some folks the other day that if you are truly born again, if you are truly saved by Jesus, if you are truly a child of God, you're going to somehow, some way, somewhere, sometime confess your sins, repent of your sins, and get that right with God. There's no way that you can be saved and live in sin and not be troubled about your sin, no matter how you're struggling with it. Can somebody say amen? If you're struggling with pornography and you're weak at that, you're going to feel guilty about it, and you're going to confess it as sin, and you're going to repent and try to get that right with God. If you are a glutton, you're going to feel badly about it. You're going to feel guilty about it. You're going to confess it as sin. You're going to repent of it. You're going to try to get it right with God. If you are a drunkard, the same thing. If you are an adulterer or an adulteress, the same thing. You're going to feel guilty. You're going to confess it as sin. You're going to repent of it. If you are a child of God, you're going to deal with it. If you're not, you have no compunction about your sin. You're not bothered by your sin. You're not convicted by your sin, whatever it is. If the Holy Spirit of God is not talking to you, there's something wrong somewhere. You need to examine yourself and see whether or not you are even in the faith. Because I know that a true child of God can't go through life living in sin. Amen, somebody. Because Paul has the spiritual mind, he is heartbroken. Heartbroken over the way some professed Christians are living. People who mind earthly things. While we cannot be sure, it is likely that Philippians chapter 3 verses 18 and 19 describe the Judaizers and their followers. Certainly Paul is writing about professed Christians and not people outside of the church, people inside the church. Amen, somebody. The Judaizers were the enemies of the cross of Christ in that they added the law of Moses to the work of redemption that Christ wrought on the church, and you can't add anything to that. Their obedience to the Old Testament dietary laws would make a little g god out of the belly, and their emphasis on circumcision would amount to glorying in that about which they ought to be ashamed. Now, these are two different views. One from Dr. Walford and Dr. Zuck deals with the sin of gluttony in the New Testament and how evil it is, and how that people who don't have any compunction and conviction about it, to confess it and to repent of it, and to plead with the Holy Spirit of God to control them, to have self-control. And then this brother, Dr. Worsby, is dealing with how that it is idol worship, that they are, for another reason, making their belly a liturgy god. I think both are valid, and I will deal with both ways going forward. Because the sin of gluttony is a wicked, evil sin. Whenever we do things to excess, whatever it is a bad thing. And closely connected to it is idol worship. Many Christians in the church today, or professed Christians, worship food. Some of the best. One of the greatest pastors I know, who helped inspire me in the ministry, pastors a great church, one of the greatest churches in America. But he said, he admitted himself, he said, you know, it's bad when I wake up in the morning and the first thing I think about is what I'm going to eat today. If I called his name, you would know him. He said it from the pulpit. I could get away with calling his name, but I won't. He said, when I get up in the morning, the first thing I think about, square it up, the first thing I think about is what I'm going to eat today. Where am I going to eat? Does that sound familiar, Christian friend? It sounds familiar to me. Because first and foremost, yes, I do have devotions with the family in the morning. I believe I put the Lord first. But I'm here to tell you, soon after that, I'm thinking about what am I going to eat today and when and where. So this brother, Dr. Worsby, is seeing this, and I think this is the deep-seated reason why we are obese in the church. We worship food. Therefore, we worship our belly to the point of expanding it far beyond what God intended it to be. Amen, somebody. Don't bow your head yet. It's not time to pray. These men were not spiritually minded. They were earthly minded. They were holding on to earthly rituals and beliefs that God had given to Israel, and they were opposing the heavenly blessings that the Christian has in Christ. So two schools of thought, but both jive together. And we will deal with it from that standpoint going forward. Can somebody say amen? Gluttony as a wicked sin, and gluttony, therefore, is idol worship. And God has a problem, a serious problem, with idol worship. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines gluttony as excess in eating or drinking, or greedy or excessive indulgence. Many of us do not like hearing messages like this, but this particular series cannot only change your life spiritually, but it can save your life physically. You wonder why some people live till they are 90. Some folk right now in politics, they learned a secret. When they turned 50, they were told by their doctors, if you want to live a longer time, start eating a whole lot of vegetables. What do we do when we find out that we have diabetes? The first thing they tell us, you need to eat vegetables. The truth of the matter is, that's what we should have been eating all along. You don't need to eat. They tell you to stop eating red meat. And you're eating all of that meat. Your mother even tried to tell you, but you didn't listen to her. According to the CDC, obesity-related conditions include heart disease. I'm trying to help you. Nobody's picking on you. Most of us in the church are going to die early if you don't repent of the sin of gluttony. When you could be around 70, 80, 90, 100 years to be a blessing. And by the way, let me say this to you. I don't know what kind of diet Trump has. He may have some good genes. He's not perfectly fit himself. What I want to point out to you, though, look at, you want to do great things in your life? It may be that God may not want to use you until you're 70. Like our president. Whether you like him or not, the man is living out his life, doing something with purpose, something serious, something that will put him in the history books at 70-something years old. How about you, dear saint of God? You're scheduled to die by 57 because you refuse to stop overeating. You refuse to repent of the sin of gluttony. Heart disease, stroke, that's the word, type 2 diabetes. I was calling it diabetes 2 and 2 diabetes and so forth and so on. Some folks said, well, I'm not going to listen to him, he's ignorant. Type 2 diabetes. Certain types of cancer, some of the leading causes of preventable death. Gluttony is sin, and all sin has consequences. And I am convinced today, beloved, we've heard everything from Weight Watchers, from South Beach Diet, from the Atkins Diet, from all of the websites that deal with dieting. Jenny Craig, people prepare the meals for you and tell you in the right portion. There's one of those diets, I tried it some years ago. The one that has all the food and snacks and everything right there for you. I tried it one time. They sent me a big old box. I said, boy, I'm going to lose some weight now. But they promised me that if I just eat this food, I could lose some weight. And got the box. And the truth of the matter is, the little portions that they gave me to eat at a certain times, I would go in the box and grab me two or three of those portions at the same time. Those little bags of snack that they sent, I took three or four of them. By the time I was supposed to have that for a month, my box was done in 2 weeks. So I did not continue with that diet. We've heard it all, but I've never heard anybody say that it is a sin to overeat.